Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. Good evening, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us this evening on Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. This is Sister Carla. I am co-hosting. I just was able to sign on and see that there wasn't anyone on, so I am impressed to go ahead and start for whatever reason. We know that prayers work and God is in control of everything, and as we come together to worship Him in spirit and in truth, to learn, to study, and to encourage each other, there's no better time and there's no better way to do it while we have this social media, so that we can encourage each other and we can give the Lord glory, honor, and praise, which only belongs to Him. Let us pray. Kind and loving Father, I thank you ever so much for your blessings. I thank you for peace. I thank you for joy. I thank you for hope. Even in the midst of this dark world, even in the midst of controversy, of everything that can go wrong, everything that has been foretold in the Bible is coming to pass right before our eyes. We thank you for keeping us. We thank you for wisdom and understanding, Lord, that we will be, we as people of light know these things, and that they will come to pass and have the spirit of discernment to warn others. First, our household, those are of the faith, and our neighbors, friends and family, and others. Help us to be diligent about the work that you have for us. Help us to consecrate our hearts each and every day to be committed to the work. We thank you for each and every one that is on now, those that have did join us and for whatever reason wasn't able to get on, hung up. But we just thank you for this opportunity to come before you and to pray and to encourage each other. We thank you ever so much in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Again, good evening, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us. Good evening and happy first day of the week. Amen. God is good and he's truly worthy to be praised. Even in these last days, we see all type of things happening, even in the church. You know, the drums have been there and now they're swinging and swaying and dancing in the churches, and this is what the prophet foretold. So I will go ahead and read something from Spirit of Prophecy. So if there's anyone that likes to share something, you can also press one so that I can open your line at the appointed time so that you can share also. As I am looking for my reading. So again, if you would like to share, please press one, which will indicate to me you have something to share, and I will open your line as soon as I'm finished reading from Message to Young People. And this is from chapter 6. It says, we are living in the pearls of the last days. All heaven is interested in the characters you are forming. Every provision has been made for you, that you should be a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Man is not lent alone to conquer the power of evil by his own feeble effort. Help is at hand. Amen. And will be given every soul who really desire. So we have to desire the help that is at our hand. Continue, angels of God that ascend and descend the ladder that Jacob saw in vision will help every soul who will to climb even to the highest heaven. They are guarding the people of God and watching how every step is taken. Those who climb the shining way will be rewarded. They will enter into the joy of their Lord. And it's also found in Fundamentals of Christian Education, pages 82 through 86. So we see there, brothers and sisters, help is there at our asking, at our desire, at our need. So we need to use the help that's been given to us because we cannot fight this evil in our own strength, in our own power. We will have one who is victorious, who has won the battle, who has been through it, and he knows exactly how to fight, and he wants to teach us how to fight on our knees, because this is a spiritual warfare. So again, brothers and sisters, thank you for joining us. We're starting a little late, but nevertheless, God always have a ram in the thicket to provide for in a time of need. As we next Sunday, we will be having the evangelistic meeting starting from Thursday, Friday, preparation day, Sabbath, and Sunday. So Thursday we'll announce, we might not be on the air Thursday through Sunday next week. So just want to give you a heads up during that. I will be traveling down to Louisiana, so please keep us in prayer. I know many of you would like to be there but cannot be there, so keep us in prayer. And if you want to donate to the cause, you can reach out to Sister Powell, myself, or Sister Leola to donate to the cause. We have a lot of books already. I'm getting some glasses to give out to those that are in need of reading glasses. I'm buying some reading glasses. I should be going to the storage to get some more, but I saw that the line wasn't open, so I said it's best for me to open the line than to go in the storage to look for some more reading glasses. So praise the Lord. And if you want to donate, you know, through me on Cash App, it's Carla, C-A-R-L-A, capital D, period, and Francis, F-R-A-N-C-I-S. Again, it's a dollar sign you put in front of my name, Carla D, F-R-A-N-C-I-S, no period, I'm sorry. Carla, C-A-R-L-A, capital D, capital F, R-A-N-C-I-S, if you want to donate on Cash App to the Louisiana trip. So I'll go ahead and see if anyone has pressed one. Again, this is Sharing Time, brothers and sisters, with your prayer, with your songs, with your devotion, your quick devotion thought or scripture reading. Please press one so that I can open your line. And as I'm impressed to pray for Sister Leola, haven't been able to reach her. We had a meeting earlier today, but I haven't been able to reach her. So let us lift her up in prayer. Kind and loving Father, I thank you again for blessing us, for bringing each and every one of us to this line this evening, the first day of the week. I ask that you will be with us, be with the speaker or whatever program that will be happening at the appointed time. I ask that you will be with Sister Leola. I pray that all is well with her, that I ask that you will protect her, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We know the devil is angry. We know the work that she has to do and is doing to get this evangelistic meeting, evangelizing Louisiana, is on the way, and the devil is wrought. And we ask that you will protect her, her family, her going and coming, Lord. Please bless her and give her the strength and endurance that she needs, and her also her daughter and her son, her grandchildren, be with them in a special way, and her family as a whole. Also, Sister Brenda and Brother John, as they will be partaking in this effort also. Please bless us, those that are traveling. Please be with us in a special way. Give us safe journey mercy as we will be traveling by air and on the road. Protect us and our family, Lord. Beat back the force of the enemy, that no evil should have a foothold upon our lives, so that we can minister to your people and call those that are sick mentally, physically, spiritually, to surrender their heart to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, I see no one has pressed one. Again, press one if you would like to share, or if you just want to offer up a prayer. It's always a blessing to hear the prayer of the saints. And if you're pressing one and it's not coming through to me, you can text me or call me to let me know that you press one, but I'm not seeing it on the phone. So, again, thank you for joining us. 518-650. Your line is now open.
Good afternoon. Thank you for opening my line. My name is Paulette Barnaby. I'm calling from Albany, New York. I would like to sing a song. I rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be a king of a vast domain, or be held in sin, dread sway. I rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I rather you to his holy name, bound to be the king of a vast domain. Are we held in sin's dread sway? I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies or fairest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all my hungry spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain, than be held in sin, dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. And I'm going to read Matthew 16, verses 26. Matthew 16, verse 26 says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange of his soul?" I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'd rather have Jesus than riches and toll. I'd rather have Jesus than houses and land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Lord, I come before you this evening, nothing in my hands I bring. Unworthy and holy and done nothing good, but God, because of your grace and your mercy, I am not consumed, because your compassion fail not. It is due every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with you. O God, you change us not, and your compassion they fail not. As you have been there forever, you will forever will be. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your tender mercy, God. Thank you for keeping me from all arms and danger. Thank you for protecting me from the hands of the enemy, O God. Thank you for watching over me. Lord, in spite of what is going on, Lord, I'm trusting in you. I'm believing in you, O God. I'm holding on to you. Lord, I'm asking you for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, that whatever I do, God, I may do the best that is pleasing in your eyes, O God. Be with all of us on this prayer line. All of us on this prayer line, O God, I'm asking you, Lord, to be with us in a special way. Take our life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Lord, bless us. Lord, anoint us. Lord, purify us. Lord, keep us from the hands of the enemy who's trying to devour us, O God, and to trying to snatch us away from you. But God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I give everything to you this evening. All of us on this prayer line. Lord, as you have heard the voice of your daughter, O God, who is speaking, we are going on a mission. Heavenly Father, I'm asking you to be in the midst. And whatever is done, let it be done to your name, honor, and glory, God. Open doors so that whatever their plans are, everything will come true, God, according to your will. Oh, God, continue to lead them, continue to guide them as young adults coming up, Jesus. Lord, they are doing your work. Give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that whatever they do, it may be done the way you want it to be done. Be with all of us, family, God. We put all of us as family into your hand, our children, our grandchildren, our brothers, our sisters, our blood family. We put them before you this evening. All of us on this line, God. You know us by name and you know us by nature. You know where we come from. You know what we are doing. You know what we are going through, God. Whatever we are doing that is unlike you, God, please help us to overcome, oh God, and to do the things that you want us to do. Lord, continue to bless us. Continue to lead us. Continue to guide us. We need a portion of your Holy Spirit, oh God. Help us to put away sin and to come unto righteousness. Lord God, you said in your word, 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, if you are people who are called by your name, if we only humble ourselves and pray, oh God, seek your face, turn from our wicked ways. Lord, you will come from heaven. You will hear from heaven, oh God. And you will forgive our sins and you will heal our land. Help us, oh God. Help us, Lord. We want to be like you, mind, body, and spirit. There is nothing we can do on our own. But Heavenly Father, you have made us, you have fashioned us, and we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Help us to trust you. Help us to live for you. Help us to lean on you. Help us, oh God, to do what we are doing that is pleasing in your eyes. Supply our needs according to your riches in glory. God, and guide us, God. Please, Jesus. Oh God, I'm asking to go into all the hospitals, all the nursing homes, all the seniors' apartments. Please, Lord, heal the sick, feed the hungry, clothe the naked. Almighty God, open shelter for the homeless. Lord, freely you receive and freely you give. Use a God who never changed. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord Jesus, be all over the world in diverse places. So many things are happening. God, only you know. But Lord, help us to trust you. Help us to live for you. Help us to depend on you. Help us, oh God, to cry to you. Help us to put away the things of this world, oh God. And help us to clean up our mind of the things of this world. To focus our mind heavenward and to penetrate on your word, oh God. To study your word. To live a life that is pleasing in your eyes. Because, Lord, you love us. You want us to be saved. And you want us to prosper and be in good health. So, Heavenly Father, please, God. Please, Lord. You know everything that is going on. Take over. Mute every sick, oh God. I'm asking you, Jesus. Do for all of us what we cannot do for ourselves. I need you. In our walking, in our talking, in our singing, in our praying, in everything, God. To guide and guide us and to seal us. Lord, thank you for everything you have been doing, what you're doing now, what you continue to do. Lord, I pray and I ask, oh God, whatever we are doing wrong, Lord, please, Jesus, direct us, show us the right path that leads to everlasting life. Thank you for everything you are, whatever you're doing, whatever you're doing now, whatever you continue to do. Oh God, whatever our decision, help us to make good decisions. Decision that you would make so that everything we do may be done according to your will. Thank you for everything, oh God. Thank you again, Jesus. And bless this line and be with the speaker. And whatever the speaker speaks, let words be coming from your throne. I pray and I give you thanks. In the blessed name of Jesus Christ, we thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Barnaby, for that prayer, that heartfelt prayer. Thank you for your presence on this line. I just want to thank the Lord for you and each and every one of my brothers and sisters that have joined us. Like I said, the line was open late. Not sure about Sister Leola. I just offered a word of prayer for her earlier that everything is okay with her. So I just thank you, brothers and sisters, again for joining. I'll go to the next caller. God is good. He's worthy to be praised. He hears our cry. He hears our prayer. So let's lift up each other in prayer because we know the enemy is upset about this evangelistic event that we'll be having in Louisiana. 985-232, your line is now open. Good evening.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from home of Louisiana. Thank you for the call. I heard you say you haven't heard from Sister Leola or me. I'm going to have to see if I can call somebody. I thank you for opening my line. I didn't know if you heard me, so I pressed off and on me, Brother John, so we can make sure we get through. Thank you very much. But I just want to thank God for watching over us and waking us up and bringing us to another week. And thank him for his love and his precious son. I just want to read a prayer. Lord, I confess that I have strayed away from you. I followed my own desire and dream, and I have hurt myself and others. Lord, I don't want to make these mistakes again. Please lead me in your wisdom, for you are loving and faithful. Please help me to repair what I've broken as your guide me back to your path. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank the Lord again for being on here. And I pray for my sisters and brothers. I could pray for my sisters and brothers on Advent Light prayer line. And those that's on and those that desire to come on and didn't get on, pray for all of them, their health and whatever situation going on, and pray that God leads them back in good health. And just pray
Amen.
For you, Sister Paula Tribe, and pray to God that we can meet each other the weekend and everybody be blessed and we have a good weekend. Amen. And Brother John.
Thanks the Lord.
Yeah, I'd just like to say hello to everyone. This is Brother John from Houma, Louisiana. And just want to thank God for his many blessings. And as I always say, watching over us and healing us and guiding us in the right direction. Sometimes something tried to lead us another way, but we hang on there and we use his, we think of God and Jesus and also the scriptures that guides us. They always give us something to guide us and keep us on the right path. You know, like all things, like I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Like different situations in our life, I think of those scriptures and that helps me to move forward in whatever I'm doing. And I just want to say, just want to see. I'm looking forward to, you know, to the, I would say the gathering of everyone on this, you know, most of all of us on this prayer line get together and get into the word and learn from one another. So I say God bless. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother John and Sister Brenda, for joining and us in prayer and that the outreach will go according to God's will and that souls will be touched, and may we continue to pray for the people in Louisiana that they will, want to hear the message, that they will want to give their hearts to the Lord, that the Holy Spirit will go ahead and soften the heart so that they can receive it with readiness. Amen. So I'll go ahead and open the line for 518-951. Good evening. Your line is now open.
Okay. Good evening, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. Sister Carlo, good evening. Thank you. This is Sister Powell calling from New Jersey at my daughter's home. Sister Leola, I must apologize. My dear sister called, asked me if I could, you know, and I decided that I would, but eventually I just came in. I wasn't in the area where I could do anything when I call, so I just come. I just want to thank you, Sister Carlo, for opening the line. I tried because I said maybe, but eventually somebody else is on it, right? So I just want to thank you, Sister Carlo. She was just a little, you know, tied down with a little tiredness. We know that she's running to and fro doing the work. So I just want to thank you for taking that piece. I just want to say, my dear beloved, I am enjoying myself with my brother my son, my daughter's husband, and he took me out. Sister Carla, I'm telling you, I'm in New Jersey, and I never know there are so much country in New York. I am telling you. And my dear, when I went to some of the areas, just looking past, he took me to his sister's home, to sister, my dear sister, Carla, if you look, you just remember, and just we just focus our mind upon the Garden of Eden when Jesus had created and put our first parents in it. My dear, if you saw the home with the flowers, the strawberries, the broccoli, the gardening, it was, I'm telling you, my dear, the experience brought me to back to the experience of the Garden of Eden, that the Lord said that one day soon and very soon we will be there to witness it. And the smell of these wonderful flowers, my dear sister, it just brings joy and peace and happiness to see how God, what God has done, you know, and how he have allowed these families, you know, sisters and mothers and mother-in-law and son-in-laws, and how they work together in this garden, their children. And you say, I said to them, you know what? I know this is not just your human mind. This is the Almighty God who had instructed you guys to do this. It's so beautiful. So I just wanted to give God thanks for nature, and also for the land, the Holy Country land is there just for you, you know, just to look and say, boy, I never knew Jersey, New Jersey, have so much land, you know, cool in the country, and it just cool. So we just pray that God will work out things, you know, for his people, because we know the in the city, you know, and my son told me that people is moving from the city and coming in those country areas. So I just want to give God thanks for what he has done, and that we can look at creation and know that creation is very, very beautiful. And to know that I was able, you know, to enjoy myself today in nature. You know, I was in Jamaica for 10 months. And my dear beloved, I know I enjoy nature. But when I look and see the flowers, my dear sister, I know you would love some of these wonderful flowers in your garden. And I know maybe you have some right now. And you can look and experience how beautiful it is. So I'm asking you to continue to lift up that family, Bailey's family, and, you know, help them that they will continue to do the work that God wants them to do. And remember, let us all remember the outreach program in Louisiana that will be happening by Wednesday, right? And ask that, pray for us that the Lord will give us safe traveling mercy, both in the air and on the road, and wherever our brothers and sisters will be coming from, so that we will able to do God's work. Thank you, Sister Carla, for hosting, and also thank you for hoping in my line. God is good, my dear beloved. Let us pray for one another, and I just want to thank God for the privilege that I can join at this stage. Thank you.
Amen, amen. Thank you for sharing, Sister Powell. Did you want to co-host? Did you want to finish off? Or
yes, I could, but right now I am not on the computer, the iPad. I'm okay. Just on my phone. So if I can open, I don't know. I can, or you can set me up. I could. I can see you.
Okay.
I could.
Okay, so I'll just open the line, and I'll leave your line open.
Okay.
Amen, amen. So going to the next caller, I don't know what time Brother
Akeem?
The speaker will be on. Yes, Brother Akeem.
Yes, I think he will be on near 8:30, something like that.
Okay, okay. So I'll go. I'm going to the next caller. 843-206. Your line is now open.
All right. Well, I will get on. Yes, my dear. Can you tell your name and where you're calling from?
Amen. Thank you, Sister Powell, Sister Collins, Sister Tamiko, calling from Florida. And I'm just so thankful to be on the prayer line this evening. I thank and praise the Lord because he's so worthy to be praised. He takes good care of us. And I'm just grateful to be here. I'm so happy that I can be on the line with my beloved brothers and sisters. And I thank the Lord for helping me and being with me at all times. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. So I do have a scripture to read, if I may. It's taken from Psalms 121, verses 1 through 8. Amen. It says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Verse 8, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. So I praise the Lord today and always. And I just wanted to share that. And I'm praying for all of my beloved brothers and sisters. Amen. God bless you all. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Tamiko, for coming and also sharing. The Lord is our maker, is our keeper. And, you know, we have to depend upon him in everything we do. Whatsoever we are going through, all we have to do is call and trust and believe that he is able to do it. So thank you, my dear, for sharing. Is there anyone else who would like to share before the speaker comes on? Sister Carla will open the line and you can so share.
Amen. Amen. Going to 857-505. Your line is now open.
Hello, my beloved brothers and sisters. How we do, beloved? God is good. He's worthy to be praised, my beloved. Sister Carla and Sister Paula, God is good. He's merciful. He's worthy to be praised. I like to praise God. I like to thank him. I like to thank God for his love and his mercy because God is good. He's worthy to be praised. I have a prayer request, Sister Carla and Sister Paula, and my prayer request is to lift up my mother in prayer. My mother needs a lot of prayer. Don't forget to lift me up in prayer, Sister Power and Sister Carla. Sister Power and Sister Carla, please lift up our dear brother Javel in prayer because he needs a lot. He needs a lot of prayer because Sister Power, my dear sister, don't forget to tell Sister Carla I'm very loving brother. I've been waiting. I've been waiting for the person to come to me, Sister Power and Sister Carla. And Sister Power, I don't know, can Sister Carla read the Bible verse, Colossians 3:12-16, because Sister Power, because I do not know what's going on, Sister Power, because Brother Javel has been rude to me over this week. And you know, Sister Powell, you remember Sister Carla say on this line at this moment, the enemy is rough and the enemy is trying to, you know, the enemy is attacking, like the enemy is attacking Brother Javel like a roaring lion. Thank you, Sister Powell and Sister Carla. I don't know, can Sister Paulette pray for Brother Javel? I don't know, can you tell Sister Paulette,
yes.
Sister Paulette, Sister Carla? Thank you for opening my line.
Yes, Brother Eli, we just have to let you know, let it go and let God lead, right? This is a new week we're going through, my dear beloved, right? Just pray to the Lord that the Lord will allow you to have a good week. And we just pray and leave Brother Jewel, you know. Brother Jewel, the Lord is going to touch Brother Jewel soon, right? Don't let Brother Jewel get you down, because you know it's not Brother Jewel. You know it's the enemy is doing that, okay? So you just let it go and let the Lord lead. Yes, sure, we will pray for you. Yes, my dear beloved Sister Carla, I don't know if it's time now. We can, anyone else, and we can go into prayer.
Yes, Sister Barnaby gave a prayer earlier, and it is time. Brother Akeem, I believe he's on at
601-640.
Yes, he's on. So if you would give us a word of prayer, then we can, amen.
Okay, all right. Yes, my dear beloved, we're going to have a short word of prayer. Our dear beloved Pastor Hakeem James is there on the line. So we are asking each one, let us whisper a little word of prayer for the Holy Spirit to work through our dear beloved pastor so that he can present the message, the truth from the word, and also that we will listen and not only listen, to also share with others. Let's pray. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus our Lord. What a wonderful Savior to us. Heavenly Father, this evening we come once more to give you thanks for the gathering. Thank you for your love and your mercies towards everyone. Although we start late, but your presence was there through the Holy Spirit upon your children, that they could come to join, to sing song and to read your word and to praise you, Lord, because you are worthy to be praised. Lord, we ask you to continue to bless Brother Eli and Javel. Lord, you know everything, his mom and all who he is praying for, Lord. We place Brother Javel in your care. We thank you, Lord, for the life that you have allowed your children to live, to follow the character of you in Christ's righteousness, so that we will be able to enter into that eternal rest. Father, we also again present the outreach program. We are asking for prayer in Louisiana so that the people who will hear your word, that their heart will be open to receive it and not to reject you. Heavenly Father, in your hands we place the study tonight. Pour your sweet Holy Spirit upon each one so that we will be able to get our writing pads and our pens and our Bible so that we can write down these texts and go back to Jesse. Build us again, we pray in Jesus' loving name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen, amen. Yes, my dear beloved, now is the time we are going to open the line for our speaker, Pastor Akeem James. Thank you.
Amen. 301-640, your line is now open.
All right, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Amen.
All right. Awesome. Glad to be on with each and every one of you this evening. And today, as we've been going through our studies on the 144,000, last week we went over Revelation 14, verses 1, and also we went over aspects of verses 2 and 3, singing that song which only they can sing, not because God plays favorites, but rather because their experience different from others. They lived at the very, remember, they're living from the just before the close of probation because they're sealed before that time. Remember, the four winds are not to be released unless the 144,000 are sealed. Four winds are released after probation closes. So by the time probation closes, there is a group that has already been sealed in their foreheads, ready for that time when the four winds are released, when probation closes, when the seven last plagues are poured out. They go through an experience as saints that no one else has faced prior in history. And so in light of this, in light of that experience, there is a song that comes from that. And that is what songs are a symbol of, or points to throughout the Bible. It points to the experience of the people. When the people of Israel had gone through the Red Sea on dry ground and made it over onto the other side, and God allowed the waters to come back in and destroy the very Egyptian army that was pursuing them. Do you remember what their response was? Miriam, along with others, led the people in song. And the song was what? About their experience, you see. The very song they sang in the book of Exodus was about their experience of being delivered. Could a Canaanite sing about that? Could a Jebusite sing about that? No, friends, because the song they were singing had in it the very experience that they had just gone through. In the same way, just as a Canaanite could not sing about being delivered from the Egyptian army and going through the sea and all of these different details that they put into that song. In the same way, the other groups apart from the 144,000 cannot sing that song that the 144,000 sing. This is why it's not a popular teaching, but I've heard some give the idea that 144,000 are a symbol of all the saved throughout all generations. But this is not true. It is a group of people that exist at the very end, going through a time when there is no mediator, but being sustained by the one who was once their mediator. And they sing of that experience. I'm sure I'm in looking back at the different songs in Scripture and how it detailed the experiences of people. I'm sure the song may have in it how they made it through Jacob's time of trouble, how they made it through the great time of trouble, how they made it through the time when the four winds are released. There will be in that song details about their experience. Hence, they're the only ones who can sing it. So now as we go into Revelation 14:4 now, let's have a word of prayer. Father, guide us, illuminate our minds, and strengthen our hearts as we continue to move forward in your word. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So Revelation 14:4. These are they which were not defiled with woman. Speaking of the 144,000. Now, you remember, according to the book of Jeremiah, this is a book of symbols, revelation, pulling from other places in Scripture. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 2 tells us, I have likened the daughter of Zion, that is, my people, to a comely and delicate woman. All right, so the people of Zion, God's people, were likened unto a what? Comely and delicate woman. Similar principle is brought out concerning Zion in Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 16. It says there in Isaiah 51 and verse 16 the following, And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth. And here it is. Here's how we know the daughters of Zion is a symbol of God's people. And say unto Zion, Thou art my people. That means God is not talking about the edifice. He's not talking about the structure, the fortress of Jerusalem. He's not talking about the houses. Friends, he's talking about the people in that territory of Zion. Say unto Zion, Thou art my people. So in other words, and what is Zion compared to in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 2? It's compared to a comely and delicate woman. So God's people in Scripture has been compared to a woman. Same principle is found in the New Testament in the book of Ephesians, where the Apostle Paul, speaking to the church of Ephesus, likens the church unto the bride of Christ, likens the church unto a woman that is espoused to Jesus. So as we look at this here, woman, now there are two women in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 12, Revelation chapter 12 and also Revelation chapter 17. One is decked in light and one is decked in jewels. One decked in jewels, a symbol of an apostate church. People, a system that claims to be God's, but it is not. And then there's the woman clothed in light that is truly the church of God throughout the ages, from the time of the day of Pentecost to the end of time. And so as we look at this, we're seeing that, whoa, if the 144,000 were not defiled with woman, right? that gives us the understanding that this is not talking about true or pure woman, because a pure woman would never defile someone, right? Or someone would never be defiled by coming in contact with a pure woman. The only way that someone can be defiled with woman is to come in contact with a woman who is corrupted, or aka also known as a church that is corrupted, a system that is corrupted. So when it says these are they which were not defiled with woman, the understanding is the woman that we're corrupting the world at the end of time. And will there be women at the end of time who corrupt the world, friends? Go with me in your Bibles to the book of Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. All right? Revelation chapter 17, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 5. There will be women at the end of time that corrupt the nations, but the 144,000 refrain from coming into contact with these women. And as a result, they are not defiled. It says in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 1, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and I talked and talked with me. That's one of the angels that had the seven last plagues, one of the plagues, saying unto me, come hither. I will shew unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, right? With whom the kings of the earth, that's the civil leaders of the world, have committed fornication. That means they have entered in. Fornication is an illicit union, a union that is not regarded or respected by the Bible, that is condemned by Scripture. And so it's showing that the kings of the earth will have this unnatural union, this union that should not be, this woman, this whore of verse 1. The main fact that she is called that gives us the understanding that this is already one of the women that is defiled. For she is not faithful to the one who should be her husband. That is Jesus Christ. Who has she gone to? Who is her king? It's not Jesus Christ, who's the ruler over the kings of the earth, according to Revelation chapter 1. No, these are the kings of the earth, the civil leaders of the world she has turned to, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman, right, that's the whore of verse 1, an unfaithful church already, the woman was arrayed in purple, scarlet, decked, remember we spoke about that, decked with gold, precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations of the and filthiness of her fornications. Do you see that? Do you see that? Full of abominations, things that the Word of God speaks against, and the filthiness of her fornication. In other words, the corruption that came as a result of her uniting with the kings of the earth. That's church and state, right? Of course, there would be corruption that comes from that. And so in light of this, she gives this cup to be drunk by others, that they may become drunk. So as others drink this idea of the abominations of this church, whoever it is, along with agreeing, buying into this church's concept of being able to unite with civil leaders, those people will become corrupted. Now notice what it says about this woman. It says, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great. Check this out. The mother, right, of harlots. That's other unfaithful women, other unfaithful churches and abominations of the earth. So you see it. So this woman has the title of the mother of other unfaithful churches. The mother church. The mother church, giving us the idea that she is over other churches like herself. And so, friends, do you see that? It's not only one woman. There will be one leading them. But notice this. She is the mother of other unfaithful women. These are the women, the mother and her daughters. The 144,000 is these women following the mother, feeding the world these abominations, having the world drink from her cup. The 144,000 refuse to drink from it. And then it says this, as they refuse to drink from it. You know what's powerful about this? It says, these are they which were not defiled with women. The only way you can be defiled with women is if the group of women that is being referred to here, by coming in contact with them, one can be corrupted. And we just saw the group of women that it, who, if we come in contact with them, we can be corrupted by. It is the woman mentioned in Revelation 17, the mother church and her daughters. And we know, friends, the church that claims to be the mother of other churches that are just like herself, similar to herself. And that is none other than the papal system. So the 144,000 choose not to buy this illicit union between church and state, the church and civil leaders, the kings of the earth. They don't agree with it. But not only that, they don't drink the doctrines, the abominations, the other abominations of these women, for they are virgins, giving us the understanding that they are pure. They may have once been contaminated spiritually, but as they've come to Jesus, they have been purified, right? If by sin we have been contaminated, we have been messed up, the Bible tells us in the book of Matthew chapter 5 that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. But the only way that that can happen, blessed are the pure in heart. It is a call to purity. But if we are being called to purity, it must have been that at one point we were filthy. We are being called away from something. And that is why when it speaks of for they are virgins, it's not talking about literal virgins. It's talking about them being made pure from what? From the false doctrines and the illicit church-state union. They are totally against these errors and the corruptions that come from them. It says, these are they. Why? How are they able to escape this mass deception of accepting the errors of the fallen churches? How? These are they, here it comes again, which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. So we're seeing here, friends, and this is power. The 144,000 are not defiled. And these women, by the way, have another term used in Revelation 14, verse 8. Speaking of Babylon, it says Babylon is fallen, is fallen. Interesting, right? Babylon is fallen, is fallen. And that is speaking of who? The same churches that are mentioned in Revelation 17, the papacy along with the other churches that have followed after her principles and agree with the coming church-state union. So these churches constitute Babylon. These are the women that are defiling the world. The 144,000 refuse to be defiled by these women. Hence, they are called virgins, meaning they are pure. Pure from what? By from the doctrines of the world and the doctrines of these churches. Why? Because they follow the Lamb. That is, their eyes are ever on the crucified Savior. That's why it uses the word Lamb here. It could have used the word lion as it did in Revelation chapter 5, the lion of the tribe of Judah. It could have used they follow the first and the last. The reason that the word Lamb is used is because it's taking us back to Jesus in the context of the sacrificial system. And how did he fulfill the role of the Lamb? It was in that he was crucified. So what made them so powerful? What made them so amazing? What made this group be able to stand against Babylon, the fallen churches? It's the fact that they followed the one that the fallen churches had forsaken to confederate with earthly kings. This is why Babylon is fallen, because she has connected herself, rather than connecting herself with her Lord, connecting herself with Christ, she has chosen to connect herself with the kings of the earth. But unlike her, the 144,000 ever have their eyes upon the crucified Christ. The cross is ever before them. And in seeing all that Jesus was willing to do for them, they dare not become contaminated. They dare not turn away from him. But they determined to do all they can for him, to remain faithful. It says, these were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb, in the sense that this group is a special group that stands at the end, but they become a symbol of what all the redeemed will become. In other words, what will all the redeemed become? Once they are raised from the graves, they will be raised without sin. They will be raised in a perfect condition, not just physically, but spiritually and morally. This is the powerful thing about the 144,000. During the time of trouble, they stand morally perfect before God, meaning that they will not break the law of morality down to its deepest point, down to its very core. And so, friends, this group stands out as a type of first fruits of what is coming in the future, a world that would be perfect because the redeemed will dwell there. It says, and in their mouth, now this is powerful, and this is all as a result of what? The not being defiled with woman, the being pure, and it says, as it says here in verse 5, and in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. All of this, the not being defiled with woman, the ability to be pure, their mouths not being having any guile in it, and also being found without fault before God's throne, all of this was possible because these are they which follow the Lamb. In other words, their eyes were fixed upon the cross. Their eyes were fixed upon Jesus giving his life for them. And what did that cause? It caused a life of purity. It caused, as their eyes ever beheld Calvary, it caused them not to give in to the seductive doctrines and errors of the woman mentioned in the first part of verse 4. It led them to only speak that which was righteous, speak that which was true and good and pure. Why? Because they have been beholding the Lord of glory upon Calvary, seeing the purest form of love, and the greatest manifestation of love that was ever revealed. Not only that, but look at what it says here. It's not just that in their mouth was found no guile. You remember what Jesus said, right? Check this out. So go with me in your Bible. I usually use this text for Revelation 13, verse 11, but we'll use it this evening for Revelation 14:5. Notice it says, and in their mouth was found no guile. All right? So if you go with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 6. If you go to the book of Luke chapter 6 and verse 35. Give me one second. Yes, if you look at the book of, you can also find it in Matthew 12:34 and Luke 6:45. So Luke 6:45, it says, a good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. So do you see that? So the 144,000 had no guile in their mouth. In other words, they spoke no guile. They spoke no lie. But why was that the case? Because you remember, the mouth speaks only that which is first in the heart. So therefore, the 144,000 had no guile in their mouths because there was no guile in their hearts. They were truly pure inwardly. Why? Because their eyes were continually upon Calvary. That's why they were able to stand like that. So Revelation 14:5 therefore ends off by saying, it just makes sense now, because of Calvary, they are without fault before the throne of God. Now friends, that's an amazing text. It's an amazing text because in light of beholding Calvary, the crucified Savior upon the cross ever before their minds, his sacrifice. It says they were not defiled with women. They were virgins, meaning they are pure. They had no guile in their mouths. In other words, their heart was pure. Therefore, as a result, they stood before the throne of God without fault. Now, it's interesting because when you look into the Old Testament sanctuary, the very place that represented the throne of God was the Ark of the Covenant in connection with the mercy seat. So in other words, the Shekinah glory rested upon the very Ark of the Covenant. Friends, there were two, there was one angel on either side of that ark, etched in, embedded into the very mercy seat itself. And so do you see it? This is the very same thing it says in the Psalms, the Lord God dwells between the cherubim. So the idea is that what we see in the most holy place with the Shekinah glory, the presence of God, dwelling between the cherubim on top of the Ark of the Covenant is a symbol of the throne room. In other words, the Ark of the Covenant, as the Shekinah glory is resting upon it, it has to mean that the Ark of the Covenant is a symbol of God's throne. It is a symbol of the throne of God. It's no wonder that it says righteousness is the foundation of God's government. It's the foundation of his throne. Why would the scripture say that? Because as we look into the very Ark of the Covenant on which the Shekinah glory rested, what do we see there? We see the law of God. But you remember the Ark of the Covenant, which contained that law, was as a throne for God. So when it says, for they were found without fault before the throne of God, the throne of God in the most holy place was symbolized by the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Law. So literally, what is it saying? What is it saying? For they are without fault before the law of God. In other words, friends, this group has no sin in their lives. But what led to that? The fact that they were beholding the Lamb. They were continually beholding Jesus upon Calvary. And it led to such a purity that there was no sin in their lives. So by the time probation closed, they are ready to stand. Not just without a mediator. But friends, even though there's no mediator, friends, they're sustained by the mediator. Why? Because they have been looking upon him in his crucifixion. And that caused them to be able to stand. They allowed the power of Calvary to so overwhelm and consume them that it destroyed itself. To the point that only righteousness was seen. To the point that they could stand before the throne of God without sin, without fault, no guile in their mouths, pure in light of, hence the Bible says virgins, but pure in the sense that they were not contaminated with the false doctrines of Babylon. Friends, this is powerful because what we find out next is that we see in Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 onward, the three angels' messages. And as I mentioned last week, the three angels' messages in verses 6 onward produces the group mentioned in verse 1 to 5. And that just makes sense, right? If the group is sealed just before the close of probation and stand after probation closes in response to the world receiving or rejecting the three angels' messages. This is how we know that Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 to 5, is not necessarily in chronological order. Why? Because it is revealing. First, Revelation 14 starts off by saying, this is the fruit of the three angels' messages. A group sealed, settled into the truth, never to be moved anymore, never to be moved again, refusing sin in every one of its forms. Friends, that is powerful. This is the product. Verses 1 to 5 is the product of verses 6 through 12. The result of the formation of that group is verses 13 all the way to 20, the second coming itself. Because what? God has a people ready. The three angels' messages produces a group to stand through the great time of trouble all the way up until Jesus returns. And what causes this group to be sustained all the way up to Jesus' second coming? Their eyes fixed on Calvary. As they were looking upon the cross, they lived. As it was in the Old Testament, as venomous serpents were biting and killing the Israelites. Serpents that were always there, we are told in patriarchs and prophets, but that God had protected them from. Because of their rebellion, God removed that protection, and the serpents came among them and began to bite and kill them. Fiery, red, venomous serpents. But friends, what did God do? God took the symbol of the serpent. And what did he do? He had Moses craft that and place it upon a pole. And as the people looked, they lived. And friends, what was that serpent on the pole a symbol of? Friends, I can only imagine that some may have thought, oh my, this is pagan, I'm not going to watch this. And friends, they died. But those who looked lived. Because God was trying to teach them to trust in him, because he wanted to show them a deeper truth. And that is that Jesus would become tree. As Jesus told Nicodemus, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the Son of Man must be lifted up. In what sense? In that Jesus would become cursed. That is what the serpent on the pole represented. Because the serpent was cursed from the very beginning. But it's not just that, friends. It's that the very thing that was killing them would kill Jesus. Christ would become. Christ would take into himself the venom of sin and pay our penalty. Hence, he is represented as a serpent on a tree. Not because he is a serpent or he has anything in harmony with the devil. No, he does not. But it is because of what Christ became on the tree. Christ became cursed. Christ became sin. And friends, and continually beholding that science, the 144,000 are formed. They are formed. So my prayer, friends, for each and every one of us is that we may behold the cross continually. And if it should so be that this be the final generation, friends, we shall be sealed in our foreheads with the very thing that we have been beholding. It may be etched upon our minds to the point that we sin not. Do this work in us, Lord. Save us. Be with the people that are over there planning and seeking to win souls. Strengthen Brother O'Neill as he gives them the messages. Continue to keep each and every one of them. And keep us as well. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Save